Well, we are to number, does anybody know? Number five, God's top 10. We're at number five, Exodus 20:12. And I was running a little late. I had a bunch of stuff I was doing this morning, and I had a prop to bring. I had a prop. You know, I don't do that very often. I was so excited. It's hanging in the closet in my office. It's a, you remember, you know, fall festival that we have? it's a costume from a few years ago. Do you remember when we did the space thing? And I wore a red thing, and it had this emblem on it. If I said the sermon title, maybe you'd know, remember it, Live Long and Prosper. Let me just ask this morning, I didn't bring it, but any Star Trek fans in here? It's, wow, it's okay. All right, any fans of the Lord? See if we have more. No, I'm kidding. All right, yeah, Star Trek. Listen, as a kid, I loved the show. And then later on, the movies. But I'm old enough to know when that show was out. It looks pretty hokey today as far as special effects go. But you remember Captain James T. Kirk? Anybody? Scotty? Sulu? Chekhov? Uhura? One of my favorites, Dr. McCoy, better known as Bones. And perhaps my favorite, Mr. Spock. One of his trademark lines was the Vulcan greeting, Live Long and Prosper. I even learned how to make the Vulcan V. Can any of you do it? Come on, can you do it? All right. So, no, your thumb has to be together, sir. All right. Anyway, yes. Great. But here's a little bit of trivia I don't think you knew. I didn't know until I did a little research. That line, live long and prosper, which happened often, didn't it? It was not in the script. It was ad-libbed by Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock. Interesting, isn't it? Something else you may have known is Nimoy was a committed practicing Jew. So live long and prosper, it's actually a Jewish blessing that he knew, and it's something that comes out of our passage today and other passages in Scripture like it. Live long and prosper. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Let me say it this way. Obedience to God, when we think about God's top 10, obedience to God brings prosperity. Not financial prosperity. It brings prosperity to the soul. Prosperity of the soul. So we want to think about that today. Remember, God's top 10, they are God's will for the believer's life. They're still relevant today. 9 of the 10 are quoted in the New Testament. Jesus talks about them. We've been through all that, all right? Yes, they're applicable, and we want to look at that. We're not saved by obeying them. We attempt, with the Lord's help, to obey them and observe them because we are saved. But let's make sure we understand this. Obedience and honor to the Lord, to God's top 10, to his teachings, does bring the blessing of God in our life. Again, not necessarily financial, as many people talk about, but many different kinds of blessings come to us. And today we're going to see blessings related to obeying our parents. Now, this is a very sobering subject. Without going into detail, I want to tell you how sobering, how difficult this subject is for me, based on my childhood, how I grew up, and how the Lord has had to work in my life. And Lynn and I also have 4 adult children, so it still applies today. And we have 7 grandchildren, with number 8 next month. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. All right. So when you see that I'm gone on Sunday, you'll know why. We headed overseas, hopefully, to see a new baby born. But it's a very difficult subject. It hits all of us. Listen, how many of you in here were born? So whether you know them or not, you have a mother and a father. All right. And if you're like me, it may be biological and then step and then adopted and then gone and back and around, all that kind of stuff, all right? But if we're humans, there's no more virgin births. That was Jesus, right? Takes two to tango, right? You understand the science there, all right? So we have this going on, all right? So it fits us. And many of us maybe even have grandparents that are still alive. Or perhaps some of us have children. Well, there's a whole other aspect to this subject. And perhaps some of us have grandchildren. Some of you, I'm going to try to catch up with you, have great-grandchildren. It's going to take a while. Okay? Our kids, they're not that big yet. All right. But it's a sobering subject. I read something recently. I'm going to state it to you twice. I want you to really listen to it. Let it sink in. Mom and dad see God in the Bible. Children first see God in mom and dad. Let me read it to you one more time. It's good news for those of you that are here that are attempting to follow God. It's good news. It's bad news for a number of us in our childhood or a number of people out in our city and in our world. Mom and dad see God in the Bible. Children first see God in mom and dad. What a responsibility we have. Now, that statement didn't say that if the children don't see God in mom and dad, they don't have a chance. No, it says they first see. So do you see the responsibility that's here? Do you see how important this is? And listen, if your kids are grown up like ours, I understand that. But you got great grandkids or you got grandkids, listen, you have a responsibility for those kids to see God in you. You ever heard of the Brothers Grimm? Grimm's fairy tales, anybody? You know some of the famous ones? Can you think of any of them? Cinderella? Not Cinderfella, that was Jerry Lewis. Cinderella, Snow White, Little Red Riding Hood. But here's one you may not know. Brothers Grimm's fairy tale, The Old Grandfather's Corner. I'm going to give you a summary of it. See, I got some of you. We got smart people here at Hoppintown. Where's the camera? We got smart people, but sometimes I get them. I love it when I get them. They haven't heard of that, all right? Yeah, The Old Grandfather's Corner. Here's kind of a summary of it. Grandfather was feeble, his hands shook, and when they would eat, he would make a mess. Are you with me? I'm not a very good actor. Are you with me? He would make a mess, and this happened over and over, and the family got tired of this, was even disturbed by the fairy tale even says the daughter-in-law got tired of cleaning all this up. So they grew weary of watching grandfather do this, and so they put him in a corner behind a screen so they would not have to watch him. But one day, according to the story, he dropped his bowl and it shattered. So from then on, he did not get the bowl like everyone else got. Grandfather got a rough wooden bowl. And one day, the grandson was making something out of wood. He had wood and he was making something. And his dad asked the question, "What are you making?" And the grandson replied, "I am making a little bowl for Papa and Mama to eat their food in when I grow up." Think about that for a minute. Do you get it? Do you get the moral of the story? They are watching. And guess what? They imitate us, whether good or bad. Let's pray. Speak to us, God, this morning. Touchy subject. For some, a glorious subject. For others, perhaps a difficult, even bitter subject. God, we pray that we would see your faithfulness and goodness that we have sung about, and that we would let down our guard, and that we would be open to you speaking to us even from one commandment. Thank you, God, how you inhabit our praises to you, and thank you how you, your Holy Spirit, inhabits our life and teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's look at it. You already know it, but I tried to build up this suspense. Here it is, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Period. That's it. So let's summarize where we've been. The first four commandments that we have already looked at, God tells us basically in the first four, if you'll think back through them and look at them, he's saying, hey, it's all about me. I'm God. I'm God. I'm the only God. It's about me. He tells us four things. He says, if I can paraphrase, put me first, don't misrepresent me, don't misuse my name, and take some time off, take a day off in the week and do what? Give it to me. Rest and worship. Now, though, it's switching. Now God is beginning to talk to us and the people around us. And I find it very interesting when it switches from about God to about people. Very interesting. The order is important. Do you believe God's word is inspired, infallible, inerrant, that God has it, and he's preserved it even in English just for us? Do you believe it? The order is important. Is the order not important? Doesn't commandment number one need to be number one? But here we get to starting this shift about relationships, about people, and I find it very interesting that the first group God begins with are parents and children. So that applies to all of us, as we've determined earlier on. Jesus also speaks about this. Jesus was asked, you'll remember in the gospel, he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he replied, the greatest commandment, basically he starts with the vertical, does he not? What does he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. On these two commands, the whole law and prophets depend upon that. So the first four commandments are vertical, loving the Lord. The next six commandments, which with number five we're just moving into, are horizontal, loving your neighbor as yourself. So let's jump in and look at the commandment. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on point one and not much on two, three, and four. So don't panic if we're still on one and you're looking at your watch, all right? It'll be okay. But the commandment, the first part of the verse is, honor your father and your mother. Notice it says father and mother. Does anyone see that? I won't talk a lot on this, but it doesn't say your father and his friend. It doesn't say your mother and her friend. It doesn't say pick and choose. Well, I love my mom, but my father, I didn't even know him. It doesn't say that. Or it doesn't say, man, I love doing stuff with my father, but my mom, man, she was awful. No, it doesn't say that at all. It says honor your father and your mother. Now, what's interesting is that word honor. This is, what does it mean to honor? This is the only commandment in God's top 10 where this word appears. The biblical word translated here, honor, has the same root as the word we translate as glory. Did you know that? What does that mean? What that means, to make heavy or weighty. Make heavy or weighty. It gives us the idea. Here's the idea. When we see honor there, here's the idea we should get biblically. It's giving something substantial. Do you see how that works? Weighty? Heavy? Giving something substantial to a worthy individual. It doesn't say just to an individual, but to a worthy individual. Giving something, you may want to write that down, giving something substantial to a worthy individual. It is an internal attitude we extend to those deserving honor. So we could give honor to a number of people, couldn't we? Or a number of groups throughout our life. Sure we could. But in this context, it implies that people give the proper weight or respect to their parents' position. Of course, we know the opposite would be what? To despise or scorn one's parents. So a second subpoint of this, I wanted to share a few Old Testament examples just to get us going here this morning. Let's start with the negative and move to the positive. Just a few. There's so many, but I thought of 1 Samuel 2. Do you remember Eli? Do you remember Eli's sons? They were stealing, of all things, the meat from the sacrifices, the offering meat. They were stealing it. They had sexual sins. And Eli, Scripture tells us, Eli confronts them. And Scripture says this, but they would not listen to their father. How about Samson? Most people glorify, romanticize Samson. I have an issue with Samson. He could have done so much better, right? He could have ended well. But here's what I would say about Samson. He did not, go and read the whole story, not just the part where, you know, this. Read the whole story. He did not follow his parents' instructions from the get-go. And what did he lose? He lost his sight, he lost his might, he lost his fight, and he lost his life. He lost all of that. How about Absalom? Son of King David, you remember him? He dishonored his parents. He rose up against, and his life, Scripture tells us, was cut short. But let's move to some positive, a couple of ones here. How about Ruth? Remember when we studied Ruth? Remember Ruth and then her husband Boaz? You can go back and look at the story. It's just a short few chapters in the Bible, how they showed respect and kindness to Naomi, a widow with no rights, with no sons. And yet they showed that respect. How about Joseph? You remember the life of Joseph? You think about all that happened to him, right? All that happened to him. And yet, when he rose in power, and yet later on in the story, of course we know when he makes the famous statement, "You intended this for harm, but God intended all these things that happened to me for what? For good." But don't miss the picture that Joseph did the same towards Jacob. He showed respect and kindness and provided a way forward for his family, for his father in the land of Goshen, even when he did not have to. All right, another subpoint, Proverbs. I'm just going to read to you. Listen, we could spend the rest of the morning reading proverb after proverb about this subject, but I'm just going to rapid fire through a few of them. You might want to jot them down if you want to. But listen, you can go online, on your computer, however you want to do it, a concordance, any way you want to do it, and just pop in this word or this phrase that we're looking at today, and they will come up. Proverbs 1:8 says this, "Listen, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching." Proverbs 19:26, "The one who assaults his father and evicts his mother is a disgraceful and shameful son." Proverbs 20:20, "Whoever curses his father and mother, his lamp will go out in deep darkness." Now you can figure out what that's poetic. You can figure out what that means. 23:22, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old." Proverbs 28:24, "The one who robs his father or mother and says, 'That's no sin,' is a companion to a man who destroys." And maybe my favorite, maybe not. Solomon didn't write this, another guy did, but Proverbs 30:17. Are you ready for this one? Proverbs 30:17. "As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it." Man, I love that. That's so good. That's serious stuff. I told you, it's a sobering subject. Another subpoint, and I really want to get into this for a minute. Robert Jeffress has helped me with this. Some of you know that name. I really want us to think for a minute about how honor your father and mother applies to various stages of life, because we have all the stages in here, okay? So you may want to, I think I have those little subpoints listed there. I don't know if I do or not. Write fast, "This is something," or go back and look at the sermon later online, but I really want us to marinate on this. Number one, obeying. That's the first word, obeying. What do I mean? Children honor their parents by obeying them. Are we good? Are you good? You that are older, you should be going, "Yeah, I'm good." You're not a kid at home, all right? Children, hear me, children, teenagers. They honor their parents by obeying them. Colossians 3:20 says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Ephesians 6:1 helps us out, defines it a little more. "Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right." Let me give one disclaimer here. As long as our parents' instructions don't contradict God's teaching, okay? This is the child's honor requirement. If you're a child living under your parents' roof, your honor requirement, the requirement of this commandment here, is to obey, unless they're asking you to do something that contradicts God's word. Okay? I don't know why this popped in my head. The animated movie Sing, anybody ever seen that? I love the gorilla that's in it, the guy who can play the piano and sing like crazy. But what's he doing? He's driving the getaway car for his father. They're robbing a bank and doing it. No, that contradicts God's word. No, if it contradicts God's word, no, you don't have to obey. And let me just say something to the adults too. If something at work contradicts God's teaching, you ought to take a stand. If something in your HOA does, you ought to take a stand. If something in your club or organization does, you ought to take a stand. If something that some politician does, you ought to take a stand and let them know what God's standard is. We should take a stand. And even kids should do that respectfully if what they're being asked to do contradicts God's word. Now listen, do not take that disclaimer as an excuse just to pretend like everything that's ever come out of mama or daddy's mouth contradicts God's word and you're not going to do it. No. Most of the things are okay. All right? Obey. Secondly, obeying is the first word. The second word is respecting. This is for young adults. Young adults, number in the room. Young adults honor their parents by respecting them. By respecting them. Listen, if you're a young adult and you're out on your own, you're no longer duty bound to obey. It's different. You're not under their roof. But you're duty-bound now to respect them. Well, how in the world can you do that? You can seek their counsel and heed it and listen to it. You can give attention to their advice and be interested in it. I don't understand how young adults go out away from the home. Maybe they go to college for a few years, go to the military, get started in a trade or a job or whatever, and all of a sudden, poof, mom and dad. I'm not going to have anything to do with mom and dad. No, you respect them. And you listen to them. You even ask for counsel and advice. It doesn't mean you're not a big man or a big lady that's out on your own. It means you are respecting them. That's what you're duty-bound to do. Now, this also has a disclaimer. It assumes that they give good, godly counsel. Listen, in Genesis 2, we know that we are to leave and cleave, right? Do you know that? Praise the Lord for that, right? Man, I loved leaving in Cleveland, Cleveland with Lynn. That was awesome to get married and to be married all these years, be out on our own, a family. Have I mentioned the almost 8 grandchildren? Have I mentioned that yet? All that kind of stuff, yes. But I want to tell you something. Leave and cleave, yes, that's the biblical model, but still respect. That's also the biblical model. Let's move on to the third one. This applies to many of us in the room. We have obeying, we have respecting, now we have supporting. Middle-aged and perhaps upper middle-aged adults honor their parents by supporting them. Now, many are in the sandwich generation. Have you ever heard that term? Many of you, like us, are in the sandwich generation. We have young adult children. We have children starting out their families and things like that. But now we also have aging parents who need assistance. So that's the sandwich generation. And many of us are in that generation. And we should provide assistance to our aging parents. Are you hearing me? It breaks my heart when I hear, and I've heard a number of times since I've been at Hoffmantown, of people, dearly people. I remember a lady that sat right over here, 3 rows back. Wonderful Christian people, and guess what? The family would not go see them. You can't put someone in a home, hear me, you can't put someone in assisted living and think you've done your part. Do I need to go back and read those Proverbs? I have some more Proverbs for you. You can't do that. You're to assist them and support them, not just pay, write a check and turn it over to everyone else. Can you tell it's a little sore spot with me? It is. The person who changed your diapers and you can't go see them? Listen, we're to support them, and many of us are in this category. That means a few different things. It means emotional support. It also means financial support. And it definitely means spiritual support. I'll say it this way. We honor them, honor your father and mother, we honor them by doing whatever is needed for their well-being. And let me also say this. I have seen some folks in our church go over and above supporting and honoring their aging parent. Even going and feeding them, doing whatever that they needed to do. So praise God for that. Listen, we can obey this commandment. We can do better. And then number four, the sub-point, we have obeying, we have respecting, we have supporting, and here's the last one, reverencing. I think that's a word, reverencing. That's for adults who have lost parents. That's the group. I'm in that group. Some of you are in that group. I'm in that group. So adults who have lost parents, honor them by reverencing them, giving reverence to them. Not worship, but reverence to them. Well, how do we speak about them to our children and grandchildren? The Lord convicted me of that a number of times. Be careful how I speak to my kids and my grandkids about my parents. They don't have to have all the gory details, do they? How do we cherish our good memories of them? That's part of reverencing them, cherishing the good. Surely there's at least one thing that we can cherish, cherishing those good memories, sharing those, talking about those. We must also ensure that we have forgiven them for the hurt they may have caused. That's a tough one. For some of us, that takes years to work through. But let me tell you, if you're not there, you better be on the journey towards forgiveness. And I can stand before you and tell you, forgiveness can come. Does that mean forgetting? Does that mean scars go away? Does that mean pictures or things that play in your mind over and over are gone? No, but what it means is, I forgive you. I forgive you. One of the greatest regrets we see is when parents pass away and children have not made things right, have not forgiven. Reverence. Well, how can we do this? I'm going to help you. Here's the key to being able to give reverence even to a parent that maybe was difficult or some other person. Here it is. You ready? Write it down. Philippians 4:8. Here's our focus. Here's what we must focus on. As Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ, striving to be more and more like Him, here's where our focus should be. Not on what she did to me or what he did to me. Or not on, man, I wish I was part of that family. I remember I'd go over to that house when I was in seventh grade. I wanted to be part of the family. No, here's what we focus on. Finally, brothers, Christians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. It is time for Christians, at least at Hoffmantown, maybe in Albuquerque, maybe around the world, to rise up and get past a victim's mentality and dwell on honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable things. One other thing about reverencing lost parents who are gone. We're to live in such a way that would please them. You know? My folks are gone. All of them. However many, you know, you can go 2, 3, 4, 5, however many, 1 or 2 in my lifetime, they're all gone. But I can live a life that would please them, that they would be proud of, that they would respect. So we can do that. Okay, one more point in this first point. I told you we'd be here a while. And that is parental application. Do you have that in your notes? Parental application. Okay? It says, honor your father and mother, and you think that's just talking about kids. It's talking about parents as well. Warren Wiersbe, some of you know him. I love him. I love his quotes. Here's a quote. Listen closely. It's good. The elderly are the only outcast group that everybody expects to join because nobody wants the alternative. But how we treat them today will help to determine how we're treated tomorrow, because we reap what we sow. Yes, children are to honor us, but let me also say the flip side of the coin. Parents are to be honored. If parents are to be honored, they should be honorable. Hear me. Don't throw this in the face of kids or grandkids. Well, you're breaking the fifth commandment. No. Be honorable if you want to be honored. Please do not forget the principle of sowing and reaping. It is the parents' responsibility to sow honor, to sow respect, to sow love. Why would we expect to reap these things if we do not model them? Does that make sense? Listen, Dad, if you're huffy-puffy all the time and you're strict disciplinarian and just cracking the whip, you're a drill sergeant, you might get to reap what you have sown and wonder why your kid is that way or why the relationship is that way. Listen, we can always do better. I'm going to give you one other quote. I found this little book, and I found it actually the first week we were into the series. It was behind, you know how little books can fall behind the other books? It's from 1901, I think, Ten Commandments. It's written by G. Campbell Morgan. Some of you might know that name. Okay, I don't agree with everything that he ever wrote, but he's got some good stuff. Here's a quote from G. Campbell Morgan, 1901. Maybe it could be today. The surest way to ensure that children shall honor parents is for the parents to live the life before them which reflects the glory and grace of God. That could have been written today, couldn't it? That's great. Well, let's move on to number two. We looked at the commandment quickly, won't spend a lot of time on it. The promise. Look at the promise. Let's look at the context now. What's the promise? It doesn't say you're going to live long. What does it say? Live long in the land given by God. Well, first of all, this reveals generosity to me. Look at the generosity of God with his people. And I want to tell you this. It's remarkable how Judaism has survived all these years. Have you noticed that? How in the world has it survived all these years? Well, I want you to note something that's related to this commandment. In Judaism, the family is honored. In that belief system, the family is honored. You see, this command does have a promise. It's repeated in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. There it is repeated in the New Testament. But here's what I want you to do. Instead of long life, I want you to see beyond just days and years. Can you do that with me? Look beyond just days and years of a long life. Because this promise, I think, carries something even more significant. It's a spiritual significance. And the question I would ask you, why is long life good? Why is long life good? I know you may be saying, well, beats the alternative. But really, have you ever stopped to think, what, biblically, spiritually, why is long life good? Well, we have more time to repent if we have not done so. We have more time to serve the Lord. We have more time to share his rescue plan. Listen, I appreciate you, but if you don't have long life and you're dead, you can't do those things. We also have more time to enjoy relationships with others. May the Lord help us all to properly honor our parents and to live long and prosper. Now you see where the sermon title came from. Point number three. I'd be amiss if I did not give the example. You need an example for this commandment? Look no further than Jesus. Look no further than Jesus. Well, this is Exodus 20. Yes, but look how Jesus honored his father and mother. Number one, let's talk about his birth. He was, what does Scripture say? We say it all the time. We got songs about it. He was born a babe, was he not? A baby. What does that mean? That means Jesus was not just fully God, but fully human when he came to earth, God's rescue plan. And he had the same time of childhood as we had. You know that? He was two, terrible twos. He had to be potty trained. He had schooling, right? We won't even talk about the teenage years. We could go on and on and on, right? But here's what we know. He had childhood just like we have had childhood, or you're in childhood, and he did not sin. Great example. Secondly, in the temple. Do you remember when they couldn't find him? At age of 12, they're looking all over for him, and they find him in the temple. And the light bulb was beginning to go on because he's teaching all the people in the temple. It is obvious something is up with this kid. Wow. This is amazing. You know the story, but let's look at what happens after he had taught and after his parents frantically had found him. Luke 2, 51 and 52. Then Jesus went down with them. You see that? He didn't illuminate everyone in the temple and say, I don't need to go back home. I'm good. I'm the Son of God. John is going to write John 3:16 someday, and I'm in it. No. When they found him, he didn't say, stop, I'm not going back with you. You're just peasants from Nazareth. I don't want to be a carpenter. He didn't do any of that. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and, Scripture says, was obedient to them. What does that word mean? It means obedient. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and look what happened. Remember the promise? Do you remember the promise? Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and favor with people. Verse 52. Number three, his teaching. I got one, Matthew 15, 1 through 6. I just want to read it real quickly. And it's just a summary. There's more teachings, but here it is. Matthew 15, 1 through 6. Then Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem to Jesus and asked, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat. Every young boy has that underlined in his Bible. And Jesus answered them, and why do you break God's commandment because of your tradition? What in the world commandment is he talking about? Can you imagine what they're thinking? And he says this, for God said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. He threw in Leviticus. But you say, whoever, he accuses the Pharisees of this, the spiritual leaders. You say, whoever tells his father and mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple. He does not have honor. He does not have to honor his father. What Jesus is saying there, and you can study it, and it says Corban, it's listed in other gospels. What it is, hey, I'm doing my stuff in the temple. And that's more important than taking care of you, mom and dad. You see, the Pharisees honored man-made traditions, Corban, more than God's word. They valued their money more than they valued their parents, and Jesus called them out. One final example of Jesus when it comes to this is the cross. Even from the cross, the excruciating crucifixion that Jesus was going through for you and for me, he honored his mother. Do you remember it? John 19:25-27. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, that'd be John, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. And he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. You see, Jesus was supporting his mother. Finally, in closing and summary, how can we honor our parents? I thought about that question. I had that written in there, and I thought, how about we do the not first? How do we not honor them? So here's some don'ts, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. Don't be a stubborn child. Deuteronomy 21:20. Don't be a stubborn child. Don't disrespect. Deuteronomy 27:16. Don't despise your mom. Proverbs 15:20. Don't curse your father. Proverbs 30:11. Don't bring strife. into the house. Micah 7:6. Don't disobey. 2 Timothy 3:2. So there's some don'ts. Here's some do's. God is patient. God is faithful. He wants our relationships to get better. So here's some do's. Show reverence. Do show reverence. Leviticus 19:3. Carefully obey. We've already mentioned that. That's Ephesians 3:20. Listen to their counsel. That's most of Proverbs. Love them. That's more of Proverbs. Live wisely, not foolishly. That's the rest of Proverbs. And care for them in their weakness. So let me close. We're done. I want to close in this way. And we're going to do the service a little different. I'm just going to lead a prayer time right where we are during our response time. I don't even want you to get up. I want you to stay and just focus in. I feel as if this commandment has hit home with many of us. But in closing, I want to say, have you heard of this before? This is what we call the hinge commandment. The hinge commandment. The first four relate, we've already mentioned that, right? The first four relate to God. They're vertical. The final six are horizontal to people. But look at the first four and the last five, and you'll see the hinge that hinges them together, just like a door, to the door frame is what? Honor your father and your mother. I want to tell you that only God can help you, only God can help you obey this commandment. A book cannot help you. You may think a trusted Christian friend can help you, and maybe they can a little, but I'm telling you from experience, only God can help you obey this commandment throughout the stages of your life. Where are you? What's your stage? What is it? How are you doing? Today is a new day. This week is a new week. We can obey this fifth commandment. Only God can help you obey this commandment. So then that leads me to the question, though, do you know him? God can't help you if you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him. God loved us so much that he developed a rescue plan for us sinners. Our sin separates us from God. We can't have a relationship with God. But God sent Jesus to pay the price on the cross for our sin. And through the resurrection that we'll be celebrating at the end of the month, there's power in that forgiveness. Amen? And so what we do is we have to turn from our sin. We have to repent from our way and run to God. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive my sins. I know you have the power to do that. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord, my boss. Has that happened to you? It has nothing to do with what church you go to, what family you grew up in, what job you have, your education level. It has nothing to do with that. It's between you and the Lord. And God does the saving. Will you simply repent and turn and run to him and ask him to save you, to forgive you, to be your Lord, boss? That's what we need to do. And then, having that relationship, God can help us obey this commandment. Let's pray for just a moment, and then we're going to celebrate baptism. Right where you are, would you just focus your prayer? Would you say, God, help me to forgive what I need to forgive. Doesn't mean forget, it means forgive. God, help me to forgive. And whatever stage of life you're in, would you ask God, help me to obey, respect, support, revere. Would you ask God to help you, to help your pastor, This one's tough. Would you ask God to provide opportunities right now and in the future to obey this commandment? And would you thank God for his blessing? Not that we would necessarily live long and prosper in years and decades, but there would be prosperity of our soul, which reflects in our relationships. Thank you, God, for new life that can be found in Jesus. And we know the verse, Lord, that the old has passed away and the new has come. Lord, I don't know that we always live that way, so help us to live that way with this commandment. The old stuff, we forgive, we move past, and we do what? We bless. Those are the new things. So help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.